You're listening to Confest Radio, brought to you by Confest Global Community Film Festival. This evening, we are going to be discussing what it means to be a community. Now, the last few episodes, we've had Max Moore talk about his Community Commonwealth Association, which involves a lot of community issues. So tonight, we want to discuss the definition of community. So without further ado, here's Max Moore.
Thank you, Sandy. Yes, we'd like to talk tonight about community, what it is and what it should be. I'll start it off by talking about a definition of community. This is something everybody can see when they do a little research on the internet. And I found two types of definitions. One, a community can be a town, a village, a city, any geographical grouping of people. And the second way to look at community is it's people. It's us. It's you and me, and any group that we want to join. And probably everyone can relate to communities in both of these ways. We're a member of many groups, and we live in a town or a city, that kind of thing. So when we talk about community, there are these different ways of seeing it, and we may jump back and forth in what we're discussing. I'd like to start it off by introducing the people around the table. There's Sandy, of course, our host from ComFest. This is ComFest Radio, and Sandy DeFritis organizes this, and thanks to her for inviting us to join this conversation. And Arlene and Jean and Norm Hart, another main mover behind this radio show. And at this point, I would like to ask a few questions to the people sitting around the table and ask what does community mean to them. And but before we start it off, I would like to pose one thing to think about and something I've been thinking about, and that is I like the idea of community. I like being part of a group. I like living in a community. But what's been happening lately, in the last few years, is that communities seem to be more and more important. The concept of community, the idea, is growing in importance. I think this is partly because communities are growing. The population is expanding so fast that where towns used to be small, towns are much larger. Cities are huge. Cities are now larger than countries used to be. So when we talk about communities in terms of cities, we're talking about groups of people that are larger than entire countries 100 years ago. So communities are very different than they used to be. They're not small gatherings of people anymore. They're large organizations. And with this in mind, with the size and power and the economic wealth of communities in mind, I would just like to pose one thought, and that is something that is coming more and more clear to me and to other people, I think, also, is that communities are the new frontier. This is where we are, but it is also where we're going. So that is the subject of the discussion tonight. What do you think about community? What do you think about where you live? What do you think about where we are? And what do you think about where we're going? And I'd like to start by asking Sandy to talk about community.
Well, to me, community is it's a sense of belonging. Being a part of a neighborhood or any special area where you have not only things in common, but you can learn from each other. You have a lot of shared experiences. In fact, to me, community is really a shared responsibility where the people of that locale get together for the good of everyone in that community.
That's wonderful. That's a strong endorsement of community, what it is and what it could be. And next, I'd like to go to Arlene and ask you, Arlene, what do you think of community? What is it? What should it be?
Well, I think it's along the same lines as Sandy has just said, that a feeling of belonging. It's can I explain? I'm involved with a community of artists. I live in an artist's co-op, you know, where actors and musicians, and it feels very good to be a part of that community because we all share similar experiences. And also, I'm in an area which is very vibrant. It's in the downtown of the city, and it's being built up, and there's always cafes open, and it's the entertainment district, and it just, it feels really good. It feels...
And this is the St. Lawrence Market neighborhood you're talking about?
Yes, yes, yes. So... So that's what I think. I really enjoy this community, and I've usually looked to be a part of a community that I can, or people that I can relate to, and you know, I'm a musician myself, and so and that's what I think.
So you're a member of different communities than you're a member of the arts community, you're
yes.
a member of the musical community,
yes,
and also your neighborhood community,
yes,
and the city you live in.
All of that.
All of the above.
All of the above, yes.
Do you get a sense of security by surrounding yourself within that type of framework?
Oh, definitely.
And what? How has it helped you in your career as a musician?
There's a lot of support to what I'm doing.
So support is a key word for you.
Definitely.
Okay, well now we're going to ask Jean, what do you think community is and what do you think it should be?
Well, what I think it is, the basic definition of community is a group of people or that have a specific idea and want to express or impress or imprint that idea upon the people who live in that area and the people coming in and out of that area. And the community can be artistic, or it can be topographically or geographically a region. Now, the region you live in sometimes dictates the kind of artistic expression that comes out of a specific community. I myself, living in Toronto, that's my community, the whole. I live in a specific area of Toronto that's highly diversified in arts and sciences of all kinds. We have buildings that are designed to express or have events coming out of them that are totally scientific. And we have an area also very diverse in artistic endeavors. We have theaters and we have playhouses and we have movie houses and we have entertainment areas such as pubs and stuff. So I live in a large community. The small community which I reside in is highly artistic. And that does not give you a definition of what I feel community is, but it tells you the kind of community I live in.
Well, that's interesting. That means the community is whatever you belong to.
There you go.
There's a sense of interdependency in it. Because we're all interdependent in each other for something. Arlene needs the collaboration of other artists.
Yes, the sharing.
Just like myself, we have a film festival in the neighborhood, and it's important that we reach out to other people in the neighborhood so they become part of that event and share in all our experiences and our knowledge.
Well, it's interesting, Sandy, that you mentioned the film festival. This is a very special film festival within the context of this discussion, because the film festival is called ComFest, which stands for Community Film Festival.
Exactly.
And community, it's a film festival about communities, for communities, people in communities. And I'd now like to ask Norm Hart, to talk about ComFest for a minute and tell us what ComFest does to explore the idea of communities.
Well, what ComFest is doing now, it's at this time, it's dealing with quite a few communities, and it's happening very fast.
Like what kinds of communities?
Well, there's the community of filmmakers. We're dealing with filmmakers from all over the world. They're submitting hundreds of films to us, and we're having to jury them and then show them at our festival, which is in September. Then we're dealing with the children. That's another community, the school children of the area, the seniors of the area. That's a community. And there's the community in which we live, which is, as Jean explained, it's a very artistic community, so there's no giving there. So there's a lot of communities. I feel that we're part of different teams, almost like football teams. That's a community. We've got to fight for the team. Not many people, there's people that don't necessarily like having to fight for the team, but if they want to be part of the community or if they're in the community, then they got the choice to be whatever they want in the community. What can I tell you? I can go on, but...
So these are many of the films that show at ComFest, and these are the themes of the films, I should say.
Well, the themes, basically we're asking for social and cultural issue films that can come in any genre. It could be comedy, it could be animation, a feature, a documentary, as long as it's got a tinge of the social and cultural issues of those communities in different countries or in Canada. We specifically look for Canadian filmmakers, and we'd like to show how it is out west, how it is out east, and how it is here locally in other communities within Toronto, because there are thousands of them, and it's growing.
And we also address different issues affecting the various communities. Every community in some way has to deal with financial issues, poverty, homelessness, and, maybe disabilities or disease. So they're all various parts of a community that we try to bring to light. Sometimes those subjects are not always easy to approach, but it's necessary to let other people know that we care what happens to them. So that's why we do a lot of these, bring a lot of these films to it. But having said all that, I'd like to go back out into the whole subject of what it means to be a community. And I don't know if Norman really had an opportunity to express that. So maybe you can just...
What?
To express what you feel a community is.
Well, we're creating one now, actually. We're creating a broadcasting community, a listeners community. And we hope that you become a community and listen to us. We're broadcasting all the week now. You listen to Jean. Jean's broadcasting. And... Arlene's going to be broadcasting soon, and Max is broadcasting, so please listen in and be part of our community. That's what I feel. We're creating a community on air, and, I just hope that you follow us, because we've got a lot of issues that we'd like to let you hear about, and we hope that soon you'll be able to phone in and let us know what you wish and what you want, and also... I believe that we'd be able to. Would we be able to use the chat box? I'm sure we'd.
Well, eventually we have all of the features, but I don't think we're ready to explore them until we are more settled in how we're approaching it.
As the community grows,
you know.
As the community grows and the demand is there, then you'll see that this community that we're creating right now is going to grow.
So, but let's talk about the community we live in. We're in the St. Lawrence Market neighborhood. I've been living here over 17 years, and I've noticed a lot of changes taking place. I mean, every time I turn around, there's a skyscraper towering over me. There's all these cranes attacking me at my doorstep. I'm afraid to go out some days. Then there's a whole huge bulldozer running behind me. I mean, I'm not quite sure what is in the future for this community. Can anybody express? Jean, you've been living here for a while.
Yes, I've been living in the neighborhood for over 20 years now. And each individual has an opinion about the Grove. My opinion is I love it. I think it's marvelous. And I don't think it will change, or it might diversify our community. Here's the thing about community and the efforts within a specific community. There will always be people who have a diverse desire to be expressive in a community, in whatever area they want to, whether it be arts and entertainment, whether it be sports, whether it be financial, whether it be social. You know, there will always be people who will carry those mantles in their community. When you see an uprising or a growth in a specific area of those entertainment ventures or those artistic ventures, it's because someone has gotten together the people who have the most respect and responsibility for that particular genre and said, let's pull together and show how vibrant this particular area is in that area. Right. And so ComFest has come together over the last few years and sort of marshaled the entertainment and artistic groups together and said, hey, let's show them how good we are at this in this particular area, because we live here. Let's try to put together things that typify what good that is coming from this area in these particular genres. Now, next week it might be science. We might have a science center down the road in 10 years.
Sure.
But so far, what I like about this area is that it is continuing to grow. For every high rise, there is still 3 brownstones. And those 3 brownstones aren't going anywhere. And that's a beautiful thing. If you look at a major city, and I've been to a few of them, they have different pockets of structural artistry. You know, there are high rises in some areas, and some areas we got open parks. That's beautiful.
Parks for dogs.
Yes, we have parks for dogs. That's beautiful. And it's the same way in Paris. It's the same way in New York. And it's the same way in all major cities. Toronto has come of age as a... The only reason I still live in Canada is because I fell in love with the city. And I tell people all the time, it's not the people I fell in love with. The people are the same all over. I fell in love with the city. And I love the city. It's got open space. It's got business and financial sectors. It's got artistic section. It's got athletic areas where you can run and play, and not professionals, where kids can run and play. And it's got areas where you can go and see all kinds of art and all kinds of entertainment, eat all kinds of food. I'm waiting for someone to say, hey, let's show how good we are at food. You know, because we've shown over and over and time again how well we will do in the artistic endeavors and in life and in the world. And, when you say community, it's best said the world is a global community. And you just stand up and do your part from time to time to let everyone in the world know, hey, we're over here and we're holding up our end.
And that's ComFest
Global Community Film Festival.
Well, I hear you saying talking about two things. One is, well, in addition to the community in the specific place we live, but you're also talking about community development.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does a community grow? And all the things you talked about, these are ways in which communities can grow. And what that leads to is the second point is quality of life. So community development can lead to a better quality of life, is what I hear you saying. But this doesn't always happen. Sometimes community development doesn't lead to a better quality of life. It leads to a decline. I'm not saying that happens here, but it's something that to watch for. Okay, Gene.
I believe if the individuals within a region, if they stand up and make their presence known, and continue to open their mouths and have a voice,
right,
and use that voice, they will not let growth be a significant or overbearing are compounding factor in their community. They will allow it because all things must grow to live and survive.
Right.
All things must grow to live and survive.
Businesses
there is enough growth. When there is enough growth, the region and the people itself sort of
they grow
temper it and hold it back and say, hey, that's enough for now. We've got enough of that. Let's have more of this. And I think the people in this community, and I think the people in general in the city of Toronto, in most cases, are able to control that. Now, you can't control Bay and Bloor because it's owned by people who want to make money out of it. That's the reason they bought it. But in this area is controlled by both independent and commercial building owners and the city. And the city can be controlled by the people who run the city, and that's us, the voter. That's us, the inhabitant.
Now, how much can we control? Let me add a point here. And about growth, you're right. Growth can be controlled. It can go a little faster. It can go a little slower. And Toronto's a growing city. It's recently been announced that Toronto is the fourth largest city in North America now. After, New York, L.A., Chicago, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so growth is interesting as a mechanism. Something I've learned is that the growth in cities and towns and villages, it comes from population growth. Now, here's an interesting fact. Population growth increases at a rate of the population doubles every 50 years. No matter where you live, the population will double every 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a normal growth rate. I'm not talking about my weight here.
I'm talking about
communities.
Yeah, normal growth.
We'll double every 50 years. Now that is quite a challenge. If you were sitting on a city council, for example, if you were the mayor of a town. What would you do to prepare for the growth of your city to double every 50 years? And the second part of that question is, as you allow growth and enable growth in your community, how do you manage that growth so that you get a better quality of life rather than a worse quality of life?
Well, see, you're talking about a population explosion that didn't start until the late 60s. Now, with that late 60s boom, an explosion, there came on this huge population that's grown out of hand. That population by 2025 will start to decrease. It has to.
No, it will increase. The world population is going to double in 50 years.
Okay.
That means every community is going to double. There may be adjustments, people moving from one community to another, but the world population doubles every 50 years.
And there is a lot of land everywhere for them to be. You'd be surprised how much space there is out there.
Well, I'm not worried about the growth. I like you. I like growth. But what I'm saying is, how do we ensure that we grow in the directions we want to grow in?
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
That pertains to growth and communities. You know, right now, Toronto is growing as it is, but just to the east, they're going to be putting a community. It's going to be built over the next 2-3 years, I believe, which is very fast, and it's going to have probably 30, 40, maybe 100,000 people in that community. It's going to be an instant community overnight that's being built.
Where is this?
Dunlands.
Around Corktown.
No, I'm talking about Pan Am City.
The specific purpose.
But afterwards?
Afterwards, it's going to be used for the people.
For the Pan American Games,
yeah.
And after the games.
Yeah, they're going to use it for the people.
But you're right, that's a lot of people to bring into one new neighborhood.
Yeah. We also have immigration.
See, here's the thing. It would be difficult if we lived in a country or a world the size of Hong Kong. Then we have a problem. But the fact is that there is more than trillions of acres that are uninhabited, you know, that we can put people in. If you go 30 miles from here, you can find 100,000 acres with no one on it.
Mm-hmm.
With no one on it.
Mm-hmm.
If you go 200 miles or 300 miles from here, you could find a trillion acres almost with no one on it. Northern Ontario, Northern Manitoba, Saskatchewan. There's nobody living out there.
So you're saying there's lots of land to expand.
Yeah, we can expand.
But this is on our doorstep.
But we are in this community, and this community is getting more and more dense. People don't want to move 100 miles away. They want to stay here and live
people
with the
people. People are moving 100 miles away. They have
More people are living here and doubling up.
And
the high rises.
Transportation, the expansion of transportation
is a very important part. Yeah.
People who can afford to live here are living here. People who can't afford to live here aren't. People who choose not to live here aren't. There will be dictates and determinants that will say, everyone can't live here,
mm-hmm.
and everyone won't.
One good thing about Toronto is that if somebody wants to, let's say, put up a building, you know, or do some kind of a mall, the community has the opportunity to vote on whether they want this or not. So there we have, there's always that opportunity say whether they want that or not. And I'm from Toronto. I'm from the city. I don't know if anyone else is. I was born here, and I've watched it grow and change. And our, you know, government is usually right there to take care of, you know, all the issues. You know, I've watched the population double by immigration. I mean, what do we have here? 180 nationalities in the city of Toronto.
Right.
But I don't usually think about it. It's just people. It's just, we're like all one in Canada.
The world in one city.
The world, yeah. It's just, it's a great country. But so that, you know, that's basically.
So what your point is that as we grow, there is community consultation, and
yes,
people have a
yes.
chance to guide the growth of the community.
Yes.
And that's in all of the, most of the Western world's societies, democracy reigns supreme. And I know
there are some
people out there that think, well, I have no voice. If you have a vote, if your vote decides who is elected, and if the elected official makes decisions, then you are the controller of your own fate.
Mm-hmm. But some communities do this better than others. Community consultation.
I didn't say we were going to be good at it. I said we had the choice to do it.
Well, Toronto was pretty good at
guiding
its growth and developing a better quality of,
yeah.
of
now,
life.
Now, why do you say some communities are better at it?
Well, there are lots of communities where we hear a lot more. Well, Toronto's, you know, has got few problems, but generally we're ahead of the ahead of other cities in terms of developing quality of life. But for me, it's the quality of life that is the measure of are we growing in the right ways. But some cities aren't growing in the right ways. A lot of American cities, for example, are having difficulties with their municipal financing. So they can't provide municipal services.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly if there's a crisis of municipal financing, there's a large city in California named Stockton, who very famous.
Last week,
everybody probably has heard of Stockton, California. They've just declared bankruptcy.
Yeah.
They can't manage their city, and there are problems happening there. And there are a number of other cities in the United States.
Yeah.
It's the municipal financing structure that seems to be the problem. So there's a lot of work is needed in how to better finance cities. Even in Canada, Canadian cities. It's estimated that Canadian cities provide 40% of all of our public services, but money-wise, Canadian cities only receive 8% of our tax dollars. So communities receive 8% of the tax dollars, they provide 40% of the services. This is an illustration of the size of the problem, and we've got to find ways to better finance our communities.
Yeah, well, in the future, I think it will be done by the larger communities being able to maintain and use
a larger percent of their tax dollars, because they're the ones paying the taxes, and it will change.
Well, that's
it,
say that again. Say
it
again.
Will change.
Say that again, though.
It will change.
No. What you said earlier.
I said that in the future, the cities will be able to maintain and keep more of their tax dollars.
Cities will be able to maintain and keep more of
their tax dollars.
Well, I'm saying they're only receiving 8%.
But how much
right
are they
now?
Paying?
Well,
they're paying probably 40%.
Oh, they're paying, yeah, they cost
60%.
A lot more.
No, they're paying the tax generated within large inhabitants areas like Vancouver, like Montreal, and specifically Toronto. I bet Toronto, the taxes that are gleaned from people for the government, I bet Toronto pays 55% to 60% of it, of all
yeah.
the taxes
yeah.
in
yeah.
Canada. But they only get about 10% to 15% of the money.
8%.
Okay, 8%. Well, they will start getting 10% to 20% to 25% because it's their tax dollars. Theirs, not Western Hubunk.
How do we ensure that we get that money?
Voting properly in order that your representative dictates that this changes. You have to feed the athlete or the cow or the dog that's doing the work.
There's a one way, I love what you're saying, and one mechanism for doing this is looking at the amount of money in the federal government, provincial government, and municipal governments.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like municipal governments are underfunded, but the federal government is overfunded.
Yes, that's true, and that's
so
been the case.
What it would require is a transfer of funding from the federal government to municipalities on a major scale. So that's probably the most likely solution. But as you say, it would take a lot of voting and a lot of policy.
It won't even take a lot. You just have to. Here's the thing. Most people don't realize that the only favorable support of the kind of job Harper is doing right now is from the province that he's giving the most money to, and that is Alberta.
But even
that is Alberta.
Even the amount of money going to Alberta is very minimal at the municipal level. It's big at the provincial level. It's big to certain companies, but the cities and towns in Alberta are not getting the money. So there needs to be a major restructuring of the financial scenario in Canada, so that the federal government gets less of our tax dollars and the municipal governments get more of our tax dollars.
And all that has to be done to do that is to make the voter realize that he has control of that, not some MP that his grandfather sent to power or to government, but him. He can change that in 1 3-year period by taking out the people that have allowed that to happen and putting in people that won't allow it to happen. It's a simple process.
Yeah,
it's not rocket science.
Simple, but you've got to educate those people about what's happening. If they don't understand the whole concept, they're going to keep voting the same old way.
Well, if one is not educated about it, it's because they don't want to be. This is not a hidden fact. This is not something that goes along corridors and is hidden behind back rooms. It's in every communication area. It's in newspapers. It's on radios. It's on TV. If you really want to know where your dollars are going and what percentage you're getting and what percentage you're paying, it's been visible and available for years. People just tend not to do something when it really doesn't affect them. When it starts to truly affect them, they will stand up and say, I have to be a part of this. I have to make decisions. As of yet, it has not affected them. It's beginning to. When you see Toronto paying more money for auto insurance than any province, and they're right in the middle with accidents, why are we paying so much money? Those are the kind of things that make our community strong, for the fact that we still control our own destiny.
So what this leads me to believe is that we need I'm talking to the radio listeners now, all you radio listeners out there. What we're saying is that you should get involved in this. You should vote for the people who will help your community get a better financing deal.
I just want to interject, just to let the listeners know, you're listening to Confest Radio. It's being brought to you from the St. Lawrence Market neighborhood and also through Confest Community Film Festival. Back to you.
Now, I'd like to ask Norm again about the Confest Film Festival. And how do people send in films to have their favorite issues discussed or presented in Confest?
Well, they go to the internet, go to our website, confest.com, and where it says to submit a film, then you can do so. And those that feel that they have made a film that's worthy and that would like the public to see it, or their friends and neighbors and other people that might have a vested interest in the film, then do submit it to us, because we will show it if we feel that there's worthiness in it, and that we'd like to have you join the filmmakers community and Confest community.
Now, the films that are sent in, as you say, they discuss, they present different issues, right, of living in community.
Absolutely. Positive issues, negative issues, issues that they can apply to all communities anywhere in the world. And more than likely, they'll find that they're the same kind of issues, just they're wrapped up in different papers. So we can compare notes this way.
And the best part about going to the festival after the film are the panel discussions. They can be so explosive.
Yeah,
but they generate such excitement that when people leave, they remember the film they actually saw.
Not all the films have the panel discussion, but those that have causes and that have followers that would like to discuss it afterwards to get a better understanding, then yes, we do. We have had them in the past, and they've been very successful. We're going to continue to do it. It's going to grow.
And of course, there's our Marder Award, the Making a Difference Award.
We award
to filmmakers who demonstrate that their work has made a difference, and also to community members who made a difference within the community.
Yeah, very prestigious award.
Well, I find it fascinating that you have organized a film festival about communities, for communities. Now, that doesn't mean for any particular town or city. It's any particular community of interest.
A global community.
And so all you radio listeners out there, take a minute and maybe jot down a note if you want to, but how many communities do you belong to? As we were talking about earlier, you belong to the town or the city or the village where you live. And are you in the arts community? Are you in the faith community, the spiritual community, the sports community, financial community?
I know that Arlene belongs to
so many communities.
Arlene belongs to a community, a very, very interesting community. The computer animation industry. The animation industry.
Oh, you're talking about Second Life.
Well, that's definitely a community.
This is an online community?
Yes, there are 18 million people that are members of this community. And it's 18 million.
In this community?
Globally. It's called Second Life. It's a virtual reality community on the internet. And you download this, and you can actually make money on there. The Ontario government is on there. They have a sim on there. They were recruiting people for work. People thought I was crazy, but I got very involved with it. I was taken there by a musician in the States who was touring for many years, and he just wanted to stay at home. And he asked if I wanted to see the Second Life, and I went on there, and there's this musical community, and you can perform from home. You get your piano, your guitar, you sing, and there's venues. It's built by the residents.
Wow, no wonder I'm excited.
I'm on Second Life. But it's a wonderful community.
Is this like Sim City? Do you remember the video game Sim City, where you could build a city and animate a city?
It's probably very similar.
But this one is the most advanced. Is it a simulated community that you build?
Yes. There are all sorts of communities, as the same as real world communities. They've got all these different health organizations. All the artist organizations, there's government, whatever you can think of, they're on there, and it's interesting to me. I mean, if you can work a computer, and it's not that difficult.
It seems to me the run and seam in all this is belonging. You belong to this network of musicians. Second Life?
It's called Second Life. Yeah.
And you feel that you need to be around those people.
I belong, and I made a record. I made a virtual record, which I sold. Because, I don't know if you know about the music business. It's very difficult to get ahead. I mean, you can do your art, but it's a business. And it's competitive. And it's hard to sell your wares.
There you go.
And I found this on Second Life.
Anyway,
there's Second Life.
From what you said of Second Life, and from what I remember of playing the Sim City game, these all kind of they raise the idea of thinking about the kind of community that you want to live in. Mm-hmm. It's almost modeling the kind of community you want to live in,
yeah.
Which brings us back to the subject of, as your community grows, how can you participate in the growth of your community in a way that ensures a better quality of life? And do you get into these issues in Second Life? Are these issues raised? How to make life better? Or is it just an individual on a computer? Is it modeling a better life, for example?
For some it is. I know there's a group of, you make a group. Everyone gets a profile, and you can make these groups of disabled people. And to be able to go on this screen and you fly, it's quite interesting.
What do you mean you fly?
You want the technicalities of
it.
Well, it's kind of like being in Star Trek, you know? You teleport.
You actually fly.
You fly. And
okay.
What it is, animation, this type of animation, you create an avatar. And some of them are made for you. You know, you probably see avatars.
Right.
Okay. So then it has animations. And they have every animation possible. So they also have all these spiritual communities and meditation communities. And then they have people build stores, and they sell, and they make money. I've made money. They also have games. You can sit and play games, like at a casino. And
sounds like you've got to have a lot of time for this.
You do. Well, I did at the time. At the time, I wasn't doing anything.
You're not participating in the real community, in the real world.
It's a real world, though, because you can put your real name, your picture, you can make contact with people. Initially, you make contact, everyone has a profile, and you just click on the person. Hello. It's the easiest thing in the world to meet someone.
So
and
it's
also
a
you're
spiritual
very safe.
World as opposed to the physical world you live in.
Yes.
I was in one of those communities in the 60s.
Oh, really?
Hank Ashbury.
Greenwich
Village.
I was too.
It was just as real or just as unreal?
Just as real. Okay, yeah. It was slam.
I lived on the West Coast, and I followed every guru.
The communes.
I was in a commune. I follow gurus. I know that. But what's interesting about it is that it's very safe. And first, yes, it's very safe. And you don't have to put your name on there. You make up a name. You just create a name.
It's social media.
So if you really don't want people to know who you are, there's all you don't have to. There's also I don't know if you'd call it the police, but there's also
the
police. Well, because you've got anyone can do it. So you don't know. I mean, I trust the world. I trust that the world, that everybody is kind and safe.
Well,
when
you start talking about the police in a bad way, maybe you should cut your conversation. Because they're listening.
No, it's good. It's good. And you can get jobs on there, too, like as security.
It sounds to be extremely diversified and provides many needs for the people who are involved. And that's a great thing.
Yeah.
But that's what artisan and artistic areas and community are all about. And see, it's one thing when Arlene's group meets Sandy's group and meets another group of artistic people. They form together to make change in the community that they all are happy with.
Right.
This is what I'm thinking when I'm listening to this. I'm thinking this is kind of an analogy for city council. The city councilors are our avatars in a way.
They have a SIM in Ontario. Mm-hmm. On there.
Uh-huh.
And what they're doing, when they did all the research for technology and broadband, when they wanted to develop those issues, they're on there.
Wow.
And I've also seen them. I've worked at a trade show. I've worked as a host, and I was with the Second Life group from the government, and I met these people that are avatars.
Yeah, you really met your avatar.
I was quite shocked, actually. This is when I first started.
It's a real thing.
And I, you know. And also, I worked in the film community as an actor and for many years, and also as a background performer. And in our city, that community got very slow for a while.
Right.
And on this Second Life, they do a type of filming called machinima, which is the filming of virtual reality and video games. And I got work on there as an avatar, because you have to maneuver it. You still, I know it sounds crazy, Gene, I'll show you. It's fun.
No,
it's
not fun. I was thinking.
It's not for everybody.
You said a word that made me think, what?
It's not for everybody, but I had a blast.
But the fact that you can actually make money from it, that's another form of how she's best served through a community, be that online or
in our university. Now, is this real money or imaginary money?
No, it's real money.
Toronto dollars.
TTs. It's real. No,
real dollars.
No, it's called, what they do is they call it Linden dollars.
Linden.
And $25 of our money, I guess U.S. or Canadian, is $6,400 of the Linden money. And there were some people in the beginning, they were making like $1 million on virtual reality.
Linden money?
The Linden, no. And then what you do, and I've learned how to do this, is you bring it into your bank account. Like you set up something, I guess, with a finance company, PayPal, and you take that money out. It's all converted. It's all legal.
That's amazing. So basically, the banks have to agree to accept Linden money to get that exchange.
What was that money that we talked about?
I guess, yeah. Coin. It's converted. The money is converted, and it's just as competitive as the real world. If you don't know anything about finance, well, you're not going to be making any money on there. But
I haven't gone to this website. I haven't played these games, but there are a number of things in it that make me think that these are good ways to think through the issues of community and how to develop our community in ways that we want.
Right.
And one future discussion will be on alternative economic systems for communities, and this is an interesting model of perhaps one way to think about financing. Well, let's say if our communities are to grow and they're underfunded at the present time, we're going to have to start thinking about better ways to finance the communities and perhaps even create our own communal economies. There are some cities in the United States that have developed their own versions of their own dollars. Toronto dollar was a vibrant force for a while. It didn't go nearly far enough, but there are other cities that are trying it in different ways.
Other countries
that are trying.
Europe's trying the Bitcoin. Have you heard of the Bitcoin?
The Bitcoin is another alternative. We'll discuss these alternatives on a future show. Alternative economies for communities. But at this time, I'd like to come back to the subject of community and maybe wrap up with a few final ideas about if you went to City Hall, what would you like to tell your city councilor and what would you like to tell your mayor about what should be done? What direction should this community be going in? Imagine that you're talking to the mayor right now. What would you like to tell the mayor about community development where you live? Sandy, would you like to...
To tell the mayor? Well, I'm always concerned about how everybody coexists in a community. It's really important to include all kinds of people. You know, whether they have a disability or they have a lower income than somebody else, why should they be less valued or less valuable? You know, and then, that's my concern right now. Making sure everybody has an equal opportunity to not only survive but participate in their own living.
Is that a radical idea?
I should think not. Seems to me Jesus Christ had that idea years ago.
Yeah, it's been around. The idea has been around.
Well, Gene, if you were talking to the mayor right now, what would you like to tell him about how you think the city should develop?
The city? Well, I'm going to be a little broader. It's about the province to me. And I think because if the province, so as the province grows, so will the city grow, so will the communities within the city grow. You know, and I think Ontario as a province should be stronger and should be more committed to itself and not to the whole country. And I think the city of Toronto or the region, the south west region, which is, you know, Toronto, London, and all those areas, I think we should spend more time putting our infrastructure together and not bothering with outlying communities in for the presence. You know, the thing about the city of Toronto is it's growing so fast and it's becoming so important to the province of Ontario that we have to be very meticulous and very committed to both keeping it together and allowing the people that have lived in it for decades to retain and maintain their sense of responsibility, loyalty, understanding, and appreciation of just where they are and who they're living beside and all of those things. But if the province doesn't give that accreditation to its people, they will start to disband and go elsewhere and do other things. The city of Toronto is such an important city in the country's fate. No less Ontario's, no less south, west, or east Ontario. If the mayor understands and realizes that, he will continue to make sure it grows, but he will not allow other entities such as financial and corporate and levels and sectors take away from the people within that community. He will make sure through taxation that the city continues to grow. If you want to be in the city of Toronto, you will have to pay as a corporation to be in the city of Toronto. If you want to deal finances in the city of Toronto, you will have to pay to deal finances in the city of Toronto. If they run away, well and good. Well and good, but they're not going anywhere because our infrastructure has been built over a period of years. Montreal can't do it. Quebec can't do it. BC can't do it.
Can't do what?
Can't do what we do at Toronto.
Why not?
Because they don't have the infrastructure to do it. Ours is built and solid.
Our financial structure goes as deep as 70 years. It takes more than computers to be able to run something financially or corporately.
Well, I like what you're saying about Toronto should develop in a prosperous way. But I don't like the idea that one city should do better than other cities. I would prefer a system where all cities can progress and all cities can do well. Why can't Quebec City do well as Toronto?
Well, it can, but I'm not living there. I'm not concerned about that. I don't know about them. I don't know enough about them to be discreetly earnest about them. Mm-hmm. I know about Toronto. I lived here. I understand its makeup. I understand its people. I understand.
And you want good things to happen.
And I want good things to happen. And I think the only person can do it is someone who is doing it from the leadership of the mayor of Toronto, not the premier of Ontario, because he has Ontario to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor of Toronto has Toronto in his prime concern, and that's the important thing. And if Ford can't do it, maybe he should leave where somebody else can.
Well, you know what I also hear you, what I hear in what you're saying is it's the mayor's responsibility to take care of the people.
Yes, that's the reason he's mayor. The people of Toronto.
Yeah, the people where he's the mayor of.
Yes.
But I would also like to see other cities prosper and develop and grow.
Well, if I was living there, I would too.
Exactly.
But I don't live in other places. I live here, mm-hmm. and I love here,
mm-hmm.
and I appreciate here.
It's
and
great city.
You know, and if I left here, I'd still want to be here.
Quick question, James.
Yes.
The casino, good or bad for the city?
Good for the city.
Bad for the city.
We're not talking about 91 of them. We're talking about 1, 2.
I'm anti-casino.
Well, that's okay. Glad to meet you. I'm a Torontonian. Who are you? You a Torontonian? All right, we're good to go. You know
what I don't like about the casino proposal? They say that it's going to bring 10,000 jobs to the city. Well, I've done some research, and I found out those 10,000 jobs come at the expense of 10,000 jobs that are going to be lost in the city. Because when a casino lands in the city, $1 billion in local spending will shift to the casino. The $1 billion that shifts to the casino means 10,000 jobs will be lost in the city, and those 10,000 unemployed people then have to go to the casino to look for a job.
I don't know that to be true. The money spent in the casinos, I would venture to say 30, 35, perhaps even 40% of it will come from tourists.
No, that's not true.
I would venture
that's
to say
not true.
30%.
No.
Okay.
Since you have
those numbers, I'll say this: liars figure and figures lie.
Casino tourism goes to Vegas. It doesn't come to Windsor.
They've never had the
Niagara
opportunity
Falls.
To come to Toronto.
Casino tourists will go to Vegas, not Toronto.
The
casino wants Toronto dollars, not.
Nobody goes to Vegas anymore. They go to Bedi now.
But
that's neither here nor there. Everybody thinks
casino is a suck industry.
Everybody thinks Toronto will be lost because it has no experience in this kind of involvement. Most of the people who don't want casinos do it for specific religious and cultural reasons, maybe because of whoever or whatever in their family.
I think we should have a big fight over this.
I don't know who you are.
We're going to have a big fight over this.
Well, I don't know who you are, but you know, interrupting me won't let me finish.
You're talking about me and saying people are against the casino or like this and that. That's not
true. Let's carry on this conversation because
I said most people. Put yourself in the category of most people.
I don't think you can generalize about people who are anti-casino. We come in all varieties.
I said most people. And if you fall in that category, good. You held up your hand when I said it. So you must be in that category.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, let's wrap up. We've got 10 seconds. We're going to say it.
Is this
Comfest Radio? It's exciting. Tune in again, folks.
Who are you? What's your name?